Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
To infinity and beyond.
I just love finding new places to wear diamonds.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
There's no place like home.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
It's time again to go behind the scenes of another movie classic.
We don't want to interfere with their celebrations.
This isn't the Junior Chamber of Commerce, Brad.
They're probably foreigners with ways different than our own. They may do some more folk dancing.
Look, I'm cold, I'm wet, and I'm just plain scared.
I'm here. There's nothing to worry about.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little broad guy, because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
So that's the voice there of actor Tim Curry in his iconic role of Dr. Frankenfurter in the classic film The Rocky Horror Picture Show from 1975. And here resplendent in his bodice and fishnets is television producer with Mind the Gap Films, Bill Hughes. Morning, Bill.
I'm enjoying that image you've just thrown on me, and I'm imagining you in the same thing.
Well, in my case, it's accurate, Bill.
Yes, it is. You'd have the figure for a corset. So, yeah, 1973, it started out as a little musical upstairs in a tiny 60-seater theatre in London, written by Richard O'Brien. And then Lou Adler had just had the huge success with the album Tapestry and had all these millions to spend and came to London in search of something to invest in. And he went with his friend Britt Eklund to this upstairs Sloane Square little mini theatre, 60-seater, and they saw Rocky Horror, and it blew them away. And there and then, Adler decided, I need the American rights to this show, I need the film rights to this show. And Richard O'Brien had written it. He was unemployed, he was miserable, he was down. It was a bad time in England. And he had conceived it just as a short one act. But when he shared it with his friend, the Sharman, who decided, Jim Sharman, who then went on to direct, and they figured it out that this could actually be a full production.
Which, it has to be said, Bill, having seen it many times, was a ridiculous thought in the first place, and none of this should ever have worked.
I know, but only a few years ago, the American Library of Congress admitted it as a piece of outstanding art and a piece to be venerated. The reason I'm doing it now in late September is it's going to give the listeners time to go online and to download the answers that they can give to the screen when they watch it for their Halloween parties, because that's what happened. When it was released as a film, it died on its arse, and nobody went to see it. And then some little executive decided, you know what, this is for late night, and this is for college campuses, and this is where it's going to gather its following. And sure enough, it's still running after all these years. It is the longest running film in release in history.
Sorry, run that past me. It is the longest running film still in theatres
in release
in human history.
Yeah, because it's accompanied by people who come and perform as the stars of the film and who lead the audience in the call and response. So, for example, I don't know if you ever went to the late night one up in Harold's Cross.
I did. My memory is somewhat sketchy of it, Bill, but I know I was there.
people usually went tanked after the pub. But there's you know, there are moments in the film where, you know, the call out from the screen is quite theatrical, so that when you watch the film flat as just a film, it doesn't always work. It needs the interaction from the audience. And you can now go online and download all those responses to have ready. So, for example, you can throw rice during the wedding scene. You can put newspapers over your head during the rain scene, and you can get out water pistols to make it seem like it's raining. There's so much fun to be had, and it's perfect for Halloween. So you've got a month to
need to spend a bit more time explaining this, Bill, to a generation who will be totally unfamiliar. This was the classic in Harold's Cross, and it was, I can't remember, was it just every Friday or was it more regularly than that? But you would have a queue of people in fishnets and all manner of bondage gear, with rice, with newspapers, with water pistols, who would make this a regular thing at sort of, it was a late night show, wasn't it? 11:30 or 12:00?
Yeah, it was massive, and it was so successful, and it ran here for years. But it's still running in the States and in parts of the world. So the whole point was, when they were casting it, they just couldn't figure out who they were going to get to play parts. The studio wanted to spend big money, but in order to spend big money, they wanted to attract stars. And Richard O'Brien was adamant, no, that the original cast from the original production, Tim Curry, has to be in this as Frankenfurter. And the studio were putting forward Elvis to play the part of Eddie, the rocker. The part that in the movie is played by Meatloaf, a then unknown Meatloaf. The Mick Jagger wanted the part of Frankenfurter, but didn't get it because they stuck with Tim Curry. But as a result of holding out and saying, no, I want the cast I have, the studio didn't back them with any real money. And as a result, on the set, they had no heating. They had no proper toilets. They had no proper changing facilities. They had no real budget. The total budget for costumes was $1,700. $1,700. And the thing is that it changed fashion. It changed the fashion of the world, because the world was led by King's Road at the time. And this whole thing of torn fishnets and tweed and tartan, it all came from Rocky Horror. And the whole punk movement and the glam rock movement was just ending. And that whole look dominated fashion for the next 10 years in the world. So this all came from Rocky Horror. Tim Curry always talked about how much love he had for the part. He effectively spent 3 years of his life in fishnet stockings and, of course, playing the part. But he said this built him up and gave him great kudos.
Well, what of the cast and their subsequent success? Because you had Tim Curry, you had Susan Sarandon, you had, as you say, Meatloaf. The only one who I think didn't get a decent springboard off the back of it was probably the man most responsible, Richard O'Brien.
Richard O'Brien, yeah, we know him from Crystal Maze and other things that he went on, but he never really achieved the fame that he had hoped for. And there was a little bit of jealousy with Tim Curry, that Tim Curry did get all the kudos and all the fame. But also, we must remember that the Charles Gray, who played the professor, who actually leads everybody in the time warp, went on to be Blofeld in James Bond. And that's a face and a voice that people will always remember.
But never made that connection before.
And there he is. And the point, too, was that because the set was so poorly serviced, that when they did the swimming pool scene where they all jump in the swimming pool and have this mad thing, Susan Sarandon was very, very skimpy clothes. And when she got out, she was physically shaking. And the studio said she was complaining too much, but she said she was freezing cold. She actually developed pneumonia, so that wasn't great.
Now, hang on, go back for a bit, because we've talked around it a lot, but largely because I didn't want to put you through it, but I feel I should. Do you want to try explaining the plot?
Yes, a young engaged couple's car breaks down and they go to this big, what looks like a haunted mansion. And in the haunted mansion, they come across an alien, which is Dr. Frankenfurter, who is building his ideal person. And everybody is gender neutral, gender fluid, which again, for the time, was a really explosive concept. And So the young couple are seduced separately by Dr. Frankenfurter. So there's this whole bisexuality thing going on. So Barry Bostwick as the young man and Susan Sarandon as the young woman, they embody young America, clean, cool, with their clean T-shirts and their clean white lines and their nice soft fabric clothes. But they're up against this mad group of people who all have crazy eye makeup. And right in the middle of them all, one of the ringleaders is the great Christopher Biggins. Christopher Biggins is one of the mad crew within the house. And Richard O'Brien himself plays what you could only call a manservant butler, Riff Raff, who has a fantastic role coming up in our second clip.
Well, our second clip, it is here it is.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Let's do the time warp from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Bill, before I let you go, for the skeptical faces that are currently looking at me through the glass, are you recommending this? Is it worth doing again?
I am highly recommending it, and I'm recommending it for everybody who has an interest in glam rock, punk, origins. I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned from the film because it provokes in a way that the early 70s audience weren't ready. And Carole King used to go to the Roxy in Los Angeles when it had its first run, and she would go dressed as Magenta Divine. And at this stage, she was one of the biggest recording artists in the world. But also Keith Moon would go and send, because there were nine characters on stage, and he would send nine bottles of champagne backstage, one for each member of the cast. And so he started to come so often that just before the show, they'd look out at the footlights and see that there were nine bottles of champagne lined up on the stage, and they'd say, oh, Keith Moon is in tonight. So it was there was just a madness about it and a cult about it. And if you download How to Play Along, I just think it's very rewarding, and you have lots of time. You have a month to prepare for Halloween and get your costumes ready and rip your fishnet tights, and that's for the guys. So, yeah, I think everybody could love this.
I will bring mine, you bring yours, Bill. We will meet up. It is lovely as always, Tony. Bill Hughes, thanks so much for joining us.